For a lot of people who are in therapy, dealing with family issues is one of the biggest topics of discussion. As we continue to see the uprising for racial justice, we wanted to have a conversation about the unique challenges facing Black parents. So to round out the show, we delve into the personal story of one man.
I'm Abdul Ali. I'm a writer living in Baltimore, and I'm a fellow with the Robert W. Deutsch Foundation this year.
Growing up, Abdul had a very complicated relationship with his father.
He was absent off and on. Certainly, he had his own demons that he had to fight.
And as a result, that led to a lifetime of complicated emotions towards his father. But now Abdul himself is a father, and he said he realized he needed to grapple with his feelings towards his dad to nurture his own relationship with his daughter. And for Abdul, therapy was key. And he recently wrote about it for the Boston Globe.
But ultimately, I think what I wanted to do, and this was something new for me, was to try to frame him in a complicated light, not just in a negative light, but in a complicated light, which meant that I had to see some of those joyful moments that we shared together. And that's what I tried to capture in the piece.
Abdul and I spoke about his journey and understanding the anger he felt towards exploring his own personal growth to ditch harmful stereotypes.
I think that at 36, I saw that, you know, if I didn't make a shift, I would become a cliche. I would become an angry Black man. And I did not want that to happen. And so I've been doing a lot of work, you know, lots of hours in therapy, and kind of reimagining how I want to be in the world, not just for myself, but also for my daughter, because it's all connected.
You said you didn't want to be an angry Black man. And I often think about how anger is something that Black people and more broadly people of color are often not allowed to experience. So what do you mean when you say you didn't want to be that?
So I didn't find it particularly useful. Certainly, I mean, how long can you hold a grudge, right? And so it's almost like playing this game of holding your breath underwater. Eventually, someone's going to drown. So I wanted to speak truth to power. I wanted to put myself on notice, put my father on notice, and just, you know, put some different energy out there. I knew firsthand that many folks in my age group were going through the same thing. And it's like, we got to heal ourselves, right? First, you know, we may never get to change the older generation, but we heal ourselves first and create some new traditions and trajectories in our families.
Abdul, one of the things that I find difficult writing from the perspective of a Puerto Rican slash, you know, New York person here, a Latina, is wanting to be truthful and also not wanting to, quote unquote, air our dirty laundry, right, to largely white audiences that could potentially continue to say, oh, look, you know, you're falling into those stereotypes. How were you able to work through some of the sort of concerns that I think a lot of Black and brown people have when it comes to talking about the difficulties and the nuances in our upbringings?
Had I stayed on a superficial level and just talked about all the things I was angry about, I think I would have been in a stereotypical space. But I would like to think that I broke the ice and went deeper than just a superficial level. And I got to see, you know, my father as human. And as human, we are fallible and we're vulnerable and we're fragile. And sometimes we're victims to the times, you know, that we were born into and the circumstances that we're born into. But also, we can be victorious and triumphant as well. And I think, I don't know, I think I'm a better person, you know, having gotten to know who he is. And, you know, he's not a passive person, you know, he's a fighter. And I would like to think that I get some of that from him.
Another part of what you mentioned earlier and sort of how you found some healing in the relationship with your father, at least from your perspective, has been therapy. Something that communities of color, Black and brown communities, are now, I think, beginning to show some more acceptance to, but I think there's still some cultural barriers in the way there. How did you find therapy worked for you? Like, were you able to really feel vulnerable enough to work through some of these issues with your therapist?
With the right therapist, yes. You know, you find someone that you feel comfortable with. You know, in my case, finding therapists of color, you know, where you don't have to explain a whole lot of things and you don't have to worry about the white gaze or, you know, or anything like that. I think that that is very helpful. And there are resources out there, you know, to help locate, you know, therapists of color. And I was grateful to do that. But for me, I think it was probably a show of strength to be able to say, I'm not okay. I've been carrying this, you know, and I don't even know what it's like to walk straight because I've been carrying this load for decades. And to be able to be in a space where you can put it down and then open it up and see, is this your stuff you're carrying or is this someone else's stuff? And it's great to be able to have that perspective. And I think that's strength. I mean, I think that it's important for us to prioritize our happiness, our well-being, and to not normalize pain. Because I think that that's kind of a message, I think, that we get growing up, that this is just the way it is. But I think when you push back on that and say, well, maybe there's another way, I think that's where therapy and other things, you know, can sort of present alternate routes, you know, to having the life that you want. I know this sounds very zenny, and I don't mean to sound that way, but I just think that just taking things as it is or as it always has been, you know, I don't know if that's working well for us. So I think that it's time for us to shift gears and try something else, you know, for our health.
In therapy, the question often comes up, I think, about whether we're looking to accept things that have happened or looking to forgive the people who we feel have hurt us in or wronged us in some way. Abdul, when you are in therapy or have been in therapy as a Black man confronting the issues that you say have affected you for years with your father, are you at the point of acceptance? Are you at the point of forgiveness? Or is that even, was that even a goal for you?
I think the initial goal was to hand over this heavy load, you know, I don't know, bury it, burn it, something. I think I'm at the place where I'm sort of working on the forgiving, you know, as a writer, memory is so important. So the forgetting, I think, is probably the thing that we can't do. But certainly, I think humanizing my father, not wanting to vilify him, and to look at his life in a larger context of what was happening in our country and in the inner cities. You know, I think that that has really been an interesting journey because that's something I didn't have the capacity to do when I was younger. It was easy to kind of rely on these tropes, you know, these stereotypes that we hear of. So I think, you know, it's a journey. I'm grateful for the journey. And I also accept that things may never be what I want them to be because you can't make up that time. So that part is a little sad. But I mean, what an interesting relationship he and my daughter have. And that's quite interesting to watch.
Abdul Ali is a Baltimore-based writer and a fellow with the Robert W. Deutsch Foundation. Abdul, thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.